Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. We go to Suriname, one of the three states that fascinate me because there's not much reporting in these last days with the trouble in Brazil, the trouble in Chile, the trouble in Peru. However, Suriname, Reuters reporting. Dozens of protesters forced their way into Suriname's parliament as hundreds more rampaged through the capital, clashing with police as demonstrations against the government descended into chaos. Thousands took to the streets in initially peaceful demonstrations against government austerity measures, including the elimination of subsidies against a backdrop of high inflation. But the protest turned ugly when demonstrators throwing rocks and bottles at police stormed Parliament's grounds. Professor, this is all new to me, but my understanding is that Suriname is a colony of a European capital. So is this highly unusual, this reporting of rocks and storming the parliament? Thank you.
John, first of all, it's wonderful to be able to talk about Suriname. I remember the Suriname ambassador in Washington, D.C. Used to have a business card in which Suriname was colored in on red to remind people that the country was actually on the northeast coast of South America and not, as many presumed, in Africa or some other part of the world. The history of Suriname also is a reflection of the fact that by contrast to many parts of South America, the greater Caribbean basin of which that northern part of South America is technically part, was contested by numerous different colonial powers, not only the British and the Spanish, but also the Dutch and the French. And so to this day, Suriname is a country that relatively recently, about 40 years ago, had achieved its independence. However, there are a number of others that have various different statuses of being connected to what is called the Kingdom of the Netherlands. Indeed, for example, Aruba, Bonaire, Curaçao, all of which are in the Caribbean. Again, you have that status, as well as Montserrat, which has a different status attached to the Dutch government. So although Suriname is technically independent, it is suffering many of the same difficulties that have been besetting other nations of the Caribbean and in the rest of the region. And that is specifically that, first of all, suffering from the impact of COVID-19, but then afterwards, in terms of food prices and fuel prices, including home heating oil and oil for cooking, suffering the dramatic impacts of price increases among vulnerable populations due to Russia's invasion of the Ukraine and that disruption in global supply. And so just like we saw in Ecuador earlier this year, just like we saw in Panama, just like we saw in Peru about a year ago, where you had riots prior to what's going on now, populations are revolting against increases in prices of things that affect their ability to get by. And so in the particular case of Suriname, what you had was the government, which again, fiscally constrained like so many of those other post-COVID governments in the region, was forced to cut back electricity and fuel subsidies in part to comply with demands for an IMF, International Monetary Fund rescue package. And so it was that increase in prices because of the elimination of subsidies that got people out in the streets in Paramaribo. But again, just demonstrates the fragility of the situation in a country that is, again, one of the poorest countries in the region, although it's a country that receives far too little attention. It's a country with enormous forest wealth. It's a country with the possibility of new oil wealth. It's a country that for years was largely cut off from much of the world because it was ruled by a dictator convicted of murder, Desi Bouterse. However, the current president, head of a relatively fragile coalition, a man who goes by the name of Chan Santoki, a former prosecutor, is trying to reintegrate Suriname under a law and order government into the rest of the region. Although, as we can see, albeit with significant problems and challenges.
It's between French Guiana to the east and Guiana to the west, which does have oil wealth, proven oil wealth, and to the south, Brazil. I want to understand its governance, though, Professor, because this is storming of the parliament. It has a relationship with the Netherlands. And the official language is Dutch, you tell me. But it is independent of the Netherlands. So how do they work together? Is there subsidy coming from Europe, or is the language the only connection left?
Well, John, like many of the countries of the English Caribbean, for example, Guyana, which about the same time got its independence from Great Britain, but continued to have a special relationship with Great Britain because of that colonial legacy. In the case of Suriname, again, you have some of the countries in the region or some of the island states, as we mentioned before, that continue to have, you know, formal relationships as part of what is called the Kingdom of the Netherlands, or an associative relationship in the case of Montserrat. In the case of Suriname, however, it formally became independent again, but continues to have ties with the Kingdom of the Netherlands. I remember, like happens with other colonial powers, there's a mixture of identity and resentment. And so one of the refreshing things when I was in Paramaribo a couple of years ago is to find that many places in the region resent the United States. Suriname was one of the places that actually resent the Dutch more than they resent the United States. And yet at the same time, in security affairs and in other things, there continues to be very close relationships. You tend to have a number of former Dutch who live there, who are ethnically Dutch, and there is strong connections with the Netherlands. As a matter of fact, one of the difficulties is that one of the major drug routes into Europe actually goes through Paramaribo, goes from Colombia, Venezuela, across Guyana through Paramaribo, because it's such a logical route, and then going into places like Rotterdam, and then into the Netherlands. So there's been a difficulty there.
Quickly,
now in terms of
Suriname right now, this trouble, you expect it to calm down, to be answered by the government? Do we have expectations? We have a little more than a minute, Professor.
Yeah. Well, the Surinamese security forces, this is a nation of about 610,000 people. It's a tiny nation, although with a lot of territory. The SDF and the police force did not expect this level of difficulty. So they're a bit overwhelmed. And yet, like protests in Panama and elsewhere, it's likely that these will calm down. It was compared to the taking of the parliament in Brazil on January 8th, and of course, protests in the United States. So it had a little bit of novelty to it, but really the key issue is this fragile coalition of Chan Santoki really trying to balance what is a fascinating, complex ethnic balance between Indian Surinamese, Black Surinamese, that they're called Maroons, Surinamese, Chinese Surinamese, others. It's an ethnically fascinating and an economically delicate place that is really working to take itself forward in the current very difficult environment.
I'm speaking with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We're speaking of a country that's entirely fresh to me, Suriname. We will return because the governance clearly has answers, needs answers about the inflation, worldwide inflation. That's what we're dealing with, food and fuel and the future. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Bell.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.